It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Cut! The season begins tonight.
Live from the NFL Draft in Detroit, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
John Beck here. How many quarterbacks do you think go in a row to start this draft?
Ooh, I mean, I definitely think that it's going to be a 1-2-3.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, ESPN NFL analysts Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis, LSU head coach Brian Kelly, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, USC head coach Lincoln Riley, co-host of Good Morning Football Kyle Brandt, and now it's Rich Eisen. Hey,
welcome to the Rich Eisen Show Draft Week Special Day 2, live on the Roku channel from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. It is draft day, people. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen, doing all 3 hours right here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners, wishing them the best draft day, listening whenever they want to all 3 hours of this program. And we have got a great guest list. Once this is over, I'm going to run down the street in a suit and tie and host the NFL Network draft coverage of the first night here in Detroit. One of the most highly anticipated drafts in quite some time. That'll be at 7 Eastern time with an hour pre-draft show. And then this commissioner of the NFL will come out with some luminaries that are still to be named nameless. No, they're still unnamed right now, but I know who they are. And it is quite a
human shields.
Quite a trio of human shields that are slated to come out with him here in Detroit tonight. And then off we go. Good to see you over there,
right,
Chris Brockman. How are you,
Rich,
on this
day?
What's
up, man? Fired up. Can't believe we made it.
TJ Jefferson, light the candle.
What's up, Rich?
What do you got?
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Light it up. Hey, isn't that beautiful? That's a round of applause for the entire crew. I mean, my goodness. How many fake electric candles do you see lit up there?
That was amazing.
And by the way, there are fans, if you're watching on the Roku channel, there are fans strolling around the street here outside our
jerseys
bank.
Are out. Yeah. I've seen jerseys from like a half a dozen teams already. It's unbelievable.
They're all there.
You had a group of Bears fans just shouting you out this morning from the window.
I saw that. They're all excited. And Kyle Brandt is on this program. He's our last guest in studio in hour number 3 because Bears fans have got to be jacked up. Today is the last day of the rest of their previous football lives, possibly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tonight is the night they're finally going to get the quarterback that they feel that they have been looking for quite some time. And I know they still have the emotional scars of the previous drafts of quarterbacks. Yeah. Obviously, Justin Fields is a guy that they thought was going to be the guy. And they even went in on Justin Fields last year, trading out of the first overall draft choice. And Carolina moving in, and they performed so badly with Bryce Young that the Bears are on the clock first overall again tonight. And they decided to actually stick and pick with this one. And it's going to be Caleb Williams. And there's no doubt in my mind it's Caleb Williams. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that it's Caleb Williams. I mean, the Chicago Bears had one quarterback visit them in the top 30 visits. Again, you've got their top 30 prospects on their board, however you want to call it, and a prospect will come visit them. They only get 30 visits with kids, and they used one of them on a quarterback. It was Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams used only one of his 30 possible visits with anybody else,
And it was the Bears. That's it. So they only looked at one quarterback, and only one quarterback actually came to visit them. And it was the only visit that the quarterback took. It's going to be Caleb tonight, but let's stop talking about that, because right. that is the very thinnest limb that anybody could go out on tonight. And it's essentially what happens when the Washington Commanders are on the clock, and it's going to be Jaden Daniels, I believe. Brian Kelly, who's joining us in studio in hour number two, I think went on a show yesterday and said that Jaden Daniels is going to make plays for Washington. So even he thinks that that's where Jaden Daniels is going to go. And Daniel Jeremiah, who's joining us in about 15 minutes' time, and his mock draft last night, his final mock draft, and the one that he usually endeavors with trades, he finally took Drake May out of Washington's number two spot in his previous mocks and put Jaden Daniels in there. So even he thinks that it's going to be Jaden Daniels at two. And interestingly enough, for DJ, his entire first 10 picks of his mock draft, and this is a guy who predicted the Houston Texans would move mm-hmm. back into the first round, into the third overall spot after taking C.J. Stroud second. He predicted that Will Anderson would be taken third overall with the Texans moving up to go do that. He predicted one of the most wild draft day night trades we've ever witnessed. He says there's no draft trades at all tonight in the first 10 picks of this draft. It's all stick and pick.
That seems a little bit shocking, right?
Well, not unless the Arizona Cardinals decide to just stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr. for their quarterback, which is not crazy.
Not crazy.
And that's what leads us to tonight's draft room debates presented by Total by Verizon. Because if Daniel Jeremiah feels that there are no draft trades tonight, and obviously he could be off, he could be wrong, then, you know, it will, however, not be for the lack of trying for any teams to go and make some phone calls and create some wild 10-minute moments while, say, the Patriots are on the clock at three deciding, do they take Drake May or do they take J.J. McCarthy or do they trade out of the pick for either franchises that want either of those two quarterbacks? What are the Arizona Cardinals doing? So on and so forth. So I want to ask you first, T.J. Jefferson, which draft room would you want to be in tonight if you could? To be a fly on the wall for a draft day and draft room debate. Which one would you want to be on?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is the Cowboys, but we would know that, so I'm not going to say them.
I don't want to choose them.
So, I mean, this is pretty simple, too. The Bears. Look, you've got to pick number one. This is going to change the course of your franchise, you're hoping, right? I've got two huge Bear fans in my friend group, and I know they can't wait for tonight.
Which one is that?
The Chicago Bears?
No, the friend who's in your friend group. Which one? Just say his name. Why do you not say his name? We all know you're friends with him. It's well established.
This is my favorite bit. It's been going on for four years, and it's never going to end.
Name.
I love it so much.
His name is Justin Mooney. Is one of
the friends. No, the other one. The other one. Nobody's ever heard of Justin Mooney.
Oh, that's disrespectful a little bit.
I'm just kidding.
His name's Ashton Kutcher.
That's the guy.
Hey. Okay, yeah. So he's a big Bear fan, as we know.
Did a little part of him just die?
Yes.
You're closer
to him than I am. He said his whole name too, which is.
Okay.
You're still alive.
but I think the ghost of Trubisky is still hanging over that franchise, so they want to get this
pick
right.
But what's the debate, do you think?
So I think the debate comes down to nine, right? What do you do with that second pick? Do you give him another weapon in the form of maybe Roma Dunze, or do you solidify the offensive line? Do you maybe hope Joe Alt's there? Do you go defense? What do they do with this second pick? Because this is... Do you trade the pick to get more picks?
Well, I predicted that in my mock draft, that Malik Nabers is going to sit there at nine. And instead of handing Malik Nabers to Caleb Williams in the huddle, they're going to maybe trade out.
So they have a lot of possibilities. This could be the chance for the Bears to really make that jump. that make that next step. So I'd be interested to see what they're going to do, what Ryan Poles is going to do in that draft room and make, you know, Ashton and Justin very happy.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah says they're going to stick and pick and they're going to keep that pick and go Olu Fashanu, the tackle out of Penn State.
Which also
another, and add to their offensive line.
That would be the move, I would think. You've got to protect Caleb at
which,
all costs.
Which is the draft room you would want to be
funny.
A final.
I'm sticking in the NFC North, and I'm looking at the Minnesota Vikings. They have two first-round picks we know, 11, 23. They don't have a second or third-round pick in this draft. So what do? Do they move up? So many rumors surrounding this team. If Drake May goes number two to Washington, could they be on the phone with New England? Are they trying to trade up? Are they going to stick? DJ has them sticking. And J.J. McCarthy falls to them. That, I think, is a home run 10 out of 10 scenario for Minnesota and Kevin O'Connell. We know they're rolling the dice with Sam Darnold this year, so no pressure on whatever quarterback they draft to start right away. Could they package and move up? Like I said, I don't know, but I think there's a lot of intrigue with Minnesota because if you look at what they have, they're a team that can contend for this division and be kind of legitimate forces in the NFC if they get these picks right today.
And that leads me to the place where I would want to go and be, and that's the Arizona Cardinals draft room tonight. Because Monty Ossenfort, the general manager who last year was in the three spot, traded out with Houston and then traded back in to go get Paris Johnson, the offensive lineman from Ohio State, he is well known to move around a draft board in the top 10 picks. And he has said he will not entertain any draft offers until he is on the clock tonight. And the reason for that is I guess he wants to know which of the quarterbacks didn't go in the first three. And what does that mean for him? And who would be willing to come and pay a king's ransom for that guy? Mm-hmm. And is that possibly Drake May? It's entirely feasible. The reason why you didn't choose New England is because we have decided that you can't choose your own team to be in the draft room. When New England's on the clock at three,
it's going to be nuts.
And they don't take Drake May. They take, say, J.J. McCarthy instead. Or just saying that the ultimate craziness, if Drake May goes two and Jaden Daniels goes three and J.J. McCarthy's there at four, or the Patriots choose McCarthy because they love him and Jaden Daniels is sitting there at four, that would mean the Las Vegas Raiders would just go absolutely crazy and be one of the teams to call up Monty Ossenfort and start making some crazy trade offers. It's possible that the Minnesota Vikings would do that as well. It's possible that they just stick and pick because it is Marvin Harrison Jr. that's sitting right there.
You know how we feel about him.
We know how we feel about him. And I'm sure Kyler Murray feels very strongly about him as well. And so you'd be able to get your quarterback protected from last year's movement over the draft board. And now your quarterback having one of the best weapons we've seen from so many observers coming out of college for Kyler Murray, and all of those things happening in the span of 10 minutes, that would be a wild scenario. And, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is going to be again joining us shortly here as he walks in the door. That bottom line, he threw out on his Twitter feed today the craziest possible night. I mean, this is wild that he, in his mock draft, predicted no draft trades in the top 10 tonight.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
So he then said the
opposite. But it's DJ, so I can't.
But he said he said the opposite of that would be New England trades with Minnesota, trades out, goes from 3 down to 11.
Yep.
Okay. And then moves back up into 4. New England then moves back up into 4 and takes the other quarterback that they would want. And then moves, and then the Chargers would then move down from 5 to 11, and Arizona would pop back up into 5 and take the receiver that they want. So the 3rd, 4th, and 5th overall picks would all be traded out, and the ones who had 3 and 4 would be the ones to trade back in for 4 and 5. That would be insane. Did you follow what I just basically
said? Well, I have his tweet up, so I'm literally reading it to make it make sense while you're explaining it.
Did I get that right, DJ? Did I get that right? Okay. I did get that right.
It's like...
So New England would go from 3 down to 11, so Minnesota could take the quarterback that they want.
Right.
And if they leave the one on the board that New England would be fine with, they would trade into the fourth spot with Arizona, who then would take the 11th spot. And then Arizona, after New England traded all, you know, took the quarterback that they wanted, they would trade into the fifth spot to take the receiver that they want. And the Chargers would be the one sitting there at 11.
To take whoever's left?
I don't know. Obviously, then 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 would have
right,
to go.
Right.
And that is the opposite of nothing happening.
Yes.
But I would want to be in Arizona's draft room tonight for that draft room debate. Because if Monty Austin-Fort really has not taken any phone calls and hasn't set the table for any possible trades and parameters and truly is only going to... He's finally, after turning his phone off for the last month...
He's going to turn it back on.
He's going to turn it back. Like, you have 96 messages, you know?
Hi.
And so he would then start taking these phone calls.
Yeah.
And if somehow, some way, Jaden Daniels is still on the board, that's the least likely of them all. The most likely of them all, it's McCarthy. It's possible somebody trades up or figures out what DJ is also saying, and we'll bring him on in a second, that it's possible he could go all the way down to 11 and Minnesota doesn't have to move and they get their guy anyway, so why would they have to move up to 4? And then you sit there going, well, who else wants J.J. McCarthy? Take some phone calls, and then around 3 minutes to go, it's like, screw it. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. out there. So let's get him and let's bring him to the desert. And then obviously the Chargers being on the clock would be the next draft room I'd want to be in. But we can only choose one, and I choose Arizona's. And the draft room debate presented by Total by Verizon is now in the books. The draft's all about getting a contract. But when it comes to your wireless plan, take advantage of no long-term contracts with Total by Verizon. It's the power of Verizon. Price to win. Find your local Total by Verizon store or switch to TotalByVerizon.com today. Look who's chilling out, getting ready to join us. His name is Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks, as they say, from the NFL Network. We're going to be spending an insane amount of time together over the next 3 days, so why not start right now? That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on Draft Day from Detroit. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Roku channel, radio audience will rejoin in just a couple of minutes. Good to see you, Daniel Jeremiah.
Good
How
to
are
see you?
You,
buddy, man. We made it.
We did, didn't we? This is the most anticipated draft in a long time, right?
I can't remember this many quarterbacks, this much chaos as we're on the day of the draft.
But just in terms of interest and in terms of intrigue and rumor and conjecture and what have you, I kind of feel like once all the quarterbacks go, we'll just look at each other and go, now what? You know?
But I feel like, do we ever get to the end of the quarterback line? There's so many of them. I feel like once one goes, we're like, well, where's the next one go?
I mean, it's entirely possible we get five of them by 13.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Legitimately.
It's possible like 40% of the first, you know, 13 picks are quarterbacks.
I think there's a chance we have like one or two defensive players in literally the top half of the first
round. Is that Dallas Turner? And it's
maybe
it's
a corner.
Which one?
Well, I mean, Mitchell or Arnold.
Yeah.
I have Arnold, but I think there's a chance Mitchell goes ahead of him.
Arnold was sitting in that chair yesterday. What a kid, man.
Yeah. He's a stud, yeah.
Big energy.
Oh, my gosh.
Great personality.
He was great.
Great talker, yeah.
You know,
loved him.
Big time.
Yep.
We enjoyed him immensely.
By the way, the draft connection you didn't know existed, Terrion Arnold's uncle, my son's high school football coach.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Oh, gosh.
There you go.
Where's Kevin Bacon and all that?
Three more degrees. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out.
No, Kaylee Hartung is on our broadcast. Kaylee Hartung was with Kevin Bacon at the high school for Footloose.
Okay.
Done.
There he is. And she will be on the stage potentially interviewing one of those guys tonight.
Yeah, we just went from my son's high school football coach to Kevin Bacon like that.
There you go.
Easy.
Wow. Easy work.
That's amazing.
Everybody cut Footloose. All right. Very good. So Daniel Jeremiah is here. Our radio audience is about to return. I've got your mock draft here. We got your crazy ass tweet from earlier this morning all set up to bring to our radio audience. That's a CAT, right?
That's pretty much it.
Crazy ass tweet right here on the Rich Eisen Show from Detroit. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 7 p.m. Eastern tonight, 1 hour long pre-draft kickoff from our stage in Detroit, the stage belonging to NFL Network. 8 o'clock tonight is when the commissioner goes and puts the Bears on the clock, and it's great to see you, Daniel Jeremiah. We will be hanging out from pick one to pick last.
Well, I'll tell you what. A, it's beautiful outside.
It is nice.
It's beautiful outside. There's energy and buzz in Detroit.
That's
and
correct.
This draft is going to be crazy.
It is going to be nuts. How many quarterbacks going to row to start tonight? What do you think?
Three are going. I mean,
I
feel very confident we get quarterback. Then the interest starts of when does the fourth one go?
Why, in your mock draft, do you think no draft trades in the top 10?
So, a couple things. There's two camps out there on the Giants. They've done a lot of homework on JJ. They've also let everybody know they've done a lot of homework on JJ.
So did JJ from that chair yesterday.
Exactly. And so a lot of people around the league are looking at that saying the Giants sure do want people to think they're in the JJ McCarthy business to try and get somebody else ahead of them, and then you get another player that slides. There's the two theories, right? So we're going to find out tonight like which one of these theories is right. The other theory is Minnesota loves Drake May, going to try and make the Godfather offer to go up to 3. And that could be even on the clock as we're sitting there together. If that doesn't happen, if they can't get Drake May, they like JJ. They also are comfortable with Penix, which would then say, okay, we don't want to go and part with pick 23 to go up to 4 or 5. Maybe we wait until he gets a little closer or one of those guys goes. Now we get antsy and then we make our move.
Let's dive into this a little bit more here. Because for New England to accept the Godfather offer, they have to have another plan to get a quarterback. You can't leave this draft without a new quarterback 100%. In New England, right?
I 1,000% agree with
that. Okay, so then how do you move down to 11 and assure yourself of getting the quarterback you want? They'd have to be fine with McCarthy or Penix too, right?
Well, they need to read the CAT. I mean, that's
crazy ass tweet. Right. Let's put that up. The crazy ass tweet where you're like, was asked this question. What's the wildest top 10 rumor? Here you go. Minnesota trades from 11 to 3 with New England. New England trades from 11 to 4 with Arizona. Arizona trades from 11 to 5 with the Chargers. You dizzy yet? Yes. So that isn't.
So let me summarize that. So this is how this ends up.
Yeah.
Because people will look at this and say, I get asked, who's trading up for J.J. McCarthy? Well, if you really look at this, New England's netting a pick, trading back, getting J.J. McCarthy. The Arizona Cardinals, who we've been saying, Marvin Harrison Jr., they net some type of a pick and still get Marvin Harrison Jr. The only team that's parting with something in this is the Minnesota Vikings, and the majority of that haul would land with the Chargers. It's a lot to take in, but basically everybody gets what they want under the assumption that New England likes J.J. McCarthy and thinks it's close with him and Drake May, or even have J.J. over Drake May. They get J.J. McCarthy plus a pick.
And so you wouldn't consider the Chargers parting with the opportunity to draft Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think the Chargers want to get the heck out of there.
Even if Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting there at five?
Marvin Harrison Jr. being there at five, you know, you could say that's part of the, you know, that would make it a more difficult decision. So but I do think they want bulk. They want more picks.
They want more picks.
Yeah.
Well, and then who's going to catch the football for Justin Herbert? How do you respond?
Long draft. We got a long 3 days.
Because there's so many of those wide receivers.
Yeah.
And they think it's deep enough, and let's go get some of those kids.
Yeah, and they also, you know, look, they can go get some of these guys. The depth of the class is the wide receiver position. And also the belief, and this is my opinion, that if we get this offensive line where Jim wants it to be and we get this run game where it wants it to be, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Justin Herbert. We'll have guys open.
So then I want to cycle back to your initial comment about the Giants letting people know how much homework they've done on J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
I asked J.J. here, I'm like, hey, before I let him go yesterday, do you have any idea where you think you're going?
Yeah.
And I asked that of Penix on a Zoom earlier today, and he's like, I have no idea. And J.J.'s like, well, I'm thinking New York Giants. And he started talking about how they met twice, that they had him throw on Easter, which is a new one for him, as he said.
Yeah.
And then he started talking about, you know, how Kafka and Daboll have Alabama ties, and Josh Gaddis was an Alabama guy who
went to Michigan, the version of that offense,
and he knows the terminology. And he went in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept of the Giants wanting people to know how much work they've done on him as a smokescreen to get more prospects that they are interested in closer down to them, like, is that really a conscious decision that is made by a team? And when do they finally make that decision to start screening some smoke? Like, how does that happen?
Well, I think everything you got from JJ obviously is authentic and honest.
Of course, from him.
100% from him.
Right.
The question is, how many of those other quarterbacks have the Giants done the same amount of work and spent the same amount of time with? So, you know, that makes that conversation a little different. And absolutely, I know of teams that we'll call information guys, and we'll call people that they know will get the word around. Hey, where's he going? Where's this guy going? Where's this guy going? And it's a lot. It just seems like a lot that's out there.
But what I'm asking is, when is the tipping point from they are legitimately doing their homework on the kid?
Oh,
100%. To saying, like, now we're going to move on, despite having done all our, we've done enough of our homework to start moving on from the due diligence phase to the smokescreen phase.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, well, I mean, once you make it through the process, so once the coaches have gotten involved and then you go through it, and they might say, hey, we like him, but for us, you know, right now, the decision could be neighbors. We feel like neighbors bringing him in with what we have, we can make it work with Daniel Jones, and we brought in Drew Locke, and there's a dividing line. You're always comparing your roster, who you have, versus the players you could potentially pick. And you will take, like a lot of teams, if you were looking at a quarterback, you'll take your current starter, you'll go up to the board. Well, it used to be the board with the magnets. Now it's all on a computer and a projection. But you would go, okay, Daniel Jones, where does it stop? Okay, we have Caleb, we have Jaden, whatever order, we have Drake. But then after that, we might say, okay, now it becomes more even. We feel like maybe JJ's not that upgrade over there. You know, this is a scenario of how this works. And you say, okay, well, this is the line. And then we would just take the receiver.
So we've already termed New England as having to get one.
Yeah.
Washington has to get one. Chicago's going to get one. Then you've got Minnesota, and you've got Denver, and you've got the Raiders.
Quarterback alley, 11-13.
And you have the Giants. But you've got six with a potential first-round grade. Mm-hmm. Which one do you think is the team that could most afford to have us show up on this show Friday saying they didn't get one?
Yeah.
Which one do you think is that?
You know, it's interesting. I would say
I only ask those questions.
Yeah, that's a good question. 12-13. I would say Denver and the Raiders. You could make a case. There's a lot of roster work to be done there, you know. So we can go with we're going to try and fill some of these holes, and then we'll address the quarterback down the line. But saying that, I just go back to the Raiders. You're in Las Vegas. I just find it hard to believe. I don't envision the billboard with Gardner Minshew up there that gets your city and your fan base pumped up. Whereas Michael Penix, who can absolutely spin it, it's like there's some hope and something to dream on. They have a lot of other roster holes they need to take care of. You're not going to be able to get that done in this draft. But thinking more long-term outside of this year.
So the team that could most afford to come out with without the quarterback?
Denver is the one. I just feel like Sean Payton, they made the move with Russell. I feel like they're thinking a little bit ahead. Are they going to trade? They just got done trading all the picks before he got there for a quarterback. It doesn't feel like they're going to try and be aggressive. They have no second-round pick. Mm-hmm. This, to me, feels like, okay, we've got Jarrett Stidham. We've got a reclamation project here in Zach Wilson. We're going to get a quarterback. Ideally, you trade back. The scenario I had, they trade back into the 20s. You get an extra pick, and you get Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. But in terms of missing out on those top five, if we're going to say Penix is five, I think of those teams, I would say Denver is the one that could most afford to miss the ride.
Yeah, you have McCarthy going at 11 and Penix going at 13 to the Vikings and the Raiders. And then in between, you got the first draft trade being made by Howie Roseman and the Eagles to move up to get Fuaga.
And I think that could be Terrion Arnold. That could be
to move up to get Terrion Arnold.
The Eagles have been calling a bunch of teams to move up. And you're talking about corners, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold. Howie Roseman loves Alabama players. We've talked about George in the past. He loves Alabama players.
Yeah.
So I think if Latham was there, that could be another one that they could be in the mix to move up for. I just know that the last first-round corner they drafted was Lito Shepard. I believe that was 2002. They believe in drafting big people.
Lito Shepard is a name I have not heard in a while.
Been a minute. So if they traded up, I just thought Fuaga, he starts at right guard year one. Whenever Lane Johnson wants to retire down the road, he kicks out to right tackle.
Okay, and so back into your top 10 here. Explain to people why you think with Joe Alt on the board, it's J.C. Latham for the Chargers. I know the answer to it. I'm just asking it because everybody had Joe Alt going to the Chargers 10 times out of 10, and I kept saying, hold on a second, because I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, well, a couple things. I have Joe Alt as my top tackle, but in this situation, fit, I'm taking into account fit. So when you have J.C. Latham, 340 pounds, he's a dominant run blocker. He's young. Jim recruited him in high school. He's familiar with him. Joe Ortiz is dialed into Alabama, is very close with Nick Saban. He's going to have all the information on this kid. And he plays right tackle. So you don't have to mess with Rashawn Slater. He stays at left. There's no talk of moving a left over to a right. Everybody gets to be comfortable. And also, in a perfect world, this pick with J.C. Latham and the Chargers made it 11, not at 5. But, I mean, at some point in time, Rich, I've got to draw the line. I mean, I can't have 50 trades in the first round.
I got it. No, I hear you. And so at the end of your top 10, you have the Bears having an opportunity to take Rome Odunze and have him hook up with his plane mate flying out here.
Yeah.
And adding him to a mix with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and you think they're going to go offensive line instead?
This is very similar to the conversation we just had where I think that 9 end up being for sale. I think the Chicago Bears, you guys were talking about it before I came on, don't have a lot of picks. The New Orleans Saints,
they have four. That's
the
it.
New Orleans Saints have a screaming need at tackle. They're picking 14. This is an easy one to look at and say this could be the Saints come up to 9. They get the tackle that they want. They have to get one in this draft. And I thought, okay, so that's an option. I'll put him in the 9th spot. And then I also thought if you're the Bears, your run, the top two guys in your personnel department are offensive line guys.
Right.
And you're looking at this saying, we've got Caleb Williams. Let's serve him with our 9th pick. We've got Darnell Wright, who's a real promising young right tackle, first-round pick. Let's get another premier pick, left tackle, who also happens to be Caleb Williams' high school left tackle.
Interesting. And then Bo Nix, the Broncos trade back in.
The Broncos just go from 12 to 22 with the Eagles, and
that's
they're sitting at 22, and they get Bo Nix, and they've got an extra pick in their pocket.
And that works for them. Huh. The Bills go Brian Thomas Jr. Why do you think that's the wide receiver they go with?
Well, he's my 17th overall player, and I think this is a scenario that we could see happen tonight, which is these top receivers, the three guys are gone, right? The top three guys gone. After those top three guys, I think there's enough depth in that group that teams might address other positions knowing they'll have a shot at some of these other wide receivers. In other words, we're going to see some good receivers, I believe, get pushed down because there's so many of them. And because teams that need tackles, if you need a tackle and a receiver, the receiver line's a lot longer than the tackle line.
Right.
So you better go get the tackle.
Huh. And then this would be amazing if Chop Robinson stay. It becomes a Viking at 23 because the Vikings don't make any trades. They get J.J. McCarthy dropping down to him. And one of the reasons why McCarthy might drop down to him is a bunch of teams did buy into he was never really asked to win games at the next level. And the one game that stands out of that is the game
against Penn State.
The connection. And the reason why they did run it 30-some-odd straight times in a row is because Chop Robinson was having such a day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be ironic if those are the two Vikings?
I was told, and maybe we get this confirmed, but I was told that J.J. went up to Chop after that game and told him how impressed he was and how he changed their whole game plan.
Well, again, I asked J.J., how do you respond to people who said you weren't asked to do as much? And he started talking about how tough it was. He called it a tough pill to swallow to buy into the Harbaugh system. And he said he went up to Sharon Moore after that game and said, do you not believe in me?
Yeah.
And they had to have a conversation about it. And then, obviously, he never said a word publicly. He kept swallowing that pill, and now, you know, he's got a title.
I was going to say, if they asked me that question, I think I would probably take my hand out of my pocket and go.
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly. So who's the guy that you would have to have? You're in a draft room, and you're like, You are going to be pounding the table for this guy to go in the first round tonight. Who would that be?
Well, if DJ. Manifestation, right?
Okay.
We're good friends, right?
I would agree.
I want good things for you.
Thank you so much.
Who did I have your Jets taken?
Brock Bowers? No, you had them taking Roma Dunze. Okay.
He's my favorite player in the draft.
Ooh.
So,
Why is Roma Dunze your favorite player in the draft?
He can do anything. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. He can win with quickness. He's physical. He's like a power forward. The ball goes up in the air. You win. I think of elite receivers, number one receivers, third down, red zone. Everyone in the stadium, 70,000 people, including everyone on the sidelines, know where the ball is going, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That is Roma Dunze. And, oh, by the way, he's incredibly smart. He's a great kid, worker, leader, off the charts. So I want to enjoy the draft.
Thank
I want to have my friend as happy as can be, and I want to see his team get my favorite player in the draft.
Well, would Graham Barton be a good one for you, TJ, if we're making everybody happy on this set?
I mean,
why do you think
I love Graham Barton.
Cowboys are going for the Duke lineman. What do you got there?
Well, Cowboys take offensive linemen in the bottom of the first round that happen to be centers. It worked out pretty good with Travis Frederick. So let's dip back into that well. He's the best center in the draft. He's someone who can do all the athletic stuff, getting up to the second level, but then he can also move people. And if you have injuries, he's played left tackle. He literally could play any of the five positions. And 17-game season, Rich, how many times we see it? I mean, a guy goes down. It's nice to have a guy you can move around the board a little bit.
And then the one thing that everybody is talking about in the NFL, calling you up saying, what the hell is this all about? What is that? What is it? Out of all the stories going on, it could be two Bengals demanding trades yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it could be what Dallas is up to. It could be, give me one.
Well,
you think that, because I just want to know what the chatter is when everybody's talking to you.
Ironically, it's not sexy, but a lot of it is the medical stuff. Like Leatu Latu is, everybody almost universally believes he's the best pass rusher, like the most polished pass rusher in the draft. He got medically retired at Washington. He gets cleared up. He is phenomenal at UCLA the last couple years. But teams are split on their comfort level there. So a lot of teams calling to say, hey, what other teams have you heard about him? Are they okay? Did he pass? Did he fail? That's a conversation that's come up an awful lot. And the other one is even teams that are picking nowhere near the top of the draft, what the heck are the Patriots going to do at 3? That's where it starts.
That's where it's
shrug emoji.
Darts. Fantastic.
No idea.
And this is where our appearance ends here. But we'll be spending an insane amount of time together on our draft coverage.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Daniel.
Good to see you, buddy. It's going to be fun.
See you tonight. See you tonight. Look over to your left. I would call them competition, but they are dear friends as well. Good to see you, Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis.
I could have just sat and listened to Daniel all day.
We haven't spoken to each other the entire time we've been talking.
Give him our 20 minutes. We'll just sit here and listen.
No. We've got to have our 20 minutes together. It's a SportsCenter reunion, if you will. The hosts of ESPN and ABC's draft coverage, Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis, together with yours truly, next on The Rich Eisen Show. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Channel Radio, we'll return in a matter of moments. The man who is hosting the ESPN broadcast tonight and Friday night, and the man who is hosting the ABC broadcast all week long, Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you guys.
Long time.
This is it. Now, it's funny that we were talking, like, who's going to sit where? And I'm like, it should kind of be like the old SportsCenter days, if I remember. Whoever had tenure got to sit where they got to choose the first seat.
See, that's what I told you. It was that. It was not who arrived first.
Yeah, we were told whoever arrived in the room first.
That's not true.
Right. It was whoever arrived at the. So Reese came a year before me.
Right.
I got there in 96. Reese, 95.
I got there in 96. I think I beat you by a couple of months, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
So it would be Reese, then you, then me. I was September.
No, I'm kidding.
We all do, right? Like at any time, I'm much better at the Q than the A sometimes, you know, like, because we're all like control freaks. We all want the steering wheel, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we do for a living. But yeah, I mean, you thought it was whoever got to the studio
first?
No,
we were told that when we walked in.
Oh, is that?
But see, I never, like, unlike you guys, I never had a regular rotation. So, like, if I was doing the show with you, I sat in the other chair. If I were doing the show with Dan, I sat in the other chair.
That's the way I did.
I just always sat in the other chair.
That's the way I did SportsCenter for the first several years.
Yeah.
I was doing ESPN News. I was sitting in the other chair from Dave Feldman and Ian Page and a number of other people. And so no one really cared where we sat, to be completely honest with you.
I do. That's right. I think I was the last person hired before ESPN News. And I went straight to, you know, free parking. You know what I mean?
I came in like, we were like a pledge class. They hired like 11 of us within the span. And we all started within a span of like 2 or 3 months.
For ESPN News?
For ESPN News. And we all became good friends because we were all working. We were all candid, very aware that there was not a monstrous audience or enormous concern for what we were doing. We played golf all day. We worked at night. We were all young. None of us were married or anything like that. So it was a nice group. It was actually sort of a nice time to start.
It was at the dulcet tones of Mike Greenberg for the radio audience that just joined us, hosting the ESPN coverage of the NFL draft tonight and Friday, and Reese Davis hosting tonight through Saturday on ABC, with the Saturday's broadcast also simulcast on ESPN. I'm just so psyched. Look at us. We basically grew up together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there for 7 years, and you guys are... How many years have you been there now?
Just rolled past my 29th anniversary.
You're coming up on your 30th year?
Yeah, next April, about a year from now.
It feels like just yesterday when I got there, and you invited me over to your house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I was just by myself up there in Connecticut. You were so cool just to start with. And the rest of the crew was kind of like side-eyeing me for a little bit. Dan was hazing me right from the get-go. And then you and I started pretty much at the same time.
Same year, 96. So, yeah, and no one invited me to Thanksgiving. I spent Thanksgiving completely by myself.
Are you serious?
No, probably not. I don't really remember. I don't remember what I did for Thanksgiving anymore.
Green is just trying to make me feel bad.
This is one of the most anticipated drafts I can recall in quite some time. I mean, because all the quarterbacks sitting at the top, some teams that aren't usually sitting at the top. Mike, would you agree with that?
The thing... Mel said that it is the most intriguing draft that he has ever been a part of in his 46 years of doing this. And just listening to your conversation with Daniel Jeremiah, the best thing about the draft is not what actually happens. It's all the things that could.
Yes.
Right? Once it actually happens, then it was what it was. It probably most of the shocking twists and turns that we're anticipating are not going to wind up happening tonight. But the simple fact that they might is what makes it all so exciting. If any one of the things that he's forecasting happen, then it will be one of the best nights that we've had.
And you've been seeing a lot of these guys up close pretty much with your tenure on College Game Day as well, you know. So Caleb coming out of college with a can't-miss label, you agree with that association, Reese?
I don't know that there's any such thing, Rich, as can't-miss, because there have been so many guys that have that you would think that wouldn't. Yes. But I think he's a really good bet not to miss. He's got everything you want. He's got a personality that some people find a little unusual, yet coaches, teammates kind of gravitate to him. I mean, look at his first year at Oklahoma. It was clear, no disrespect intended to Spencer Rattler, but people wanted him to play. He drew people to him. And I think that's really important for that position, particularly if you're going to go one overall. And it seems that the Bears did a wise thing of making sure that some of the players, some of their leaders, got to know Caleb a little bit. I think he's going to be sensational. That said, Greeny's tired of hearing me say it. I love Drake May. I'm done with the Drake May blasphemy. Whoever gets the Drake May pick wins the draft.
Wow. Okay.
Reese
Davis showing up with the
Patriots
fire.
Fan, so I'm very excited.
Well, Tim Hasselbeck completely agrees, by the way. Tim Hasselbeck, whose opinion I value, says he is the best prospect in this draft. But I would make two points. The first is far more young quarterbacks are ruined than developed in the NFL. So who
that
winds up succeeding?
Like personal experience.
But it's true. Well, look, it's not just the Jets. Do we think Sam Darnold's destiny was to be a journeyman backup somewhere when people were sucking for Sam, you know, all that time that he was at USC? Do we think that Justin Fields wasn't good enough? Mitch Trubisky wasn't good enough? These guys get put into positions where they have almost no chance to succeed, and then we call them busts. So that's number one. Where are these guys going to wind up? That's going to determine how good they are. The second thing, and I heard you and Daniel talking about this, and there's a part of me that disagrees. When we say the Patriots need to come out of this with a draft, with a quarterback, excuse me, here's what I would say. Let's say you really want to get married. You should not marry the first person who seems like they might be willing to marry you. If that person doesn't seem like the right person to marry for whatever reason, you're probably better off working on yourself for a little while and trying to find someone else.
Right.
Which is to say, if you draft Drake May, I'm just using him as an example, or J.J. McCarthy or whomever, because come hell or high water, we need to come out of this weekend with a quarterback. But they aren't someone that you fully believe in. They aren't someone that you think is the right person to be there for you for the next 10 years. Then on some level, you may be making a bigger mistake than not coming out of it in the first place, because you'll be chasing trying to make that work longer than you would it would take you to find someone else.
And I totally understand that you shouldn't just get married for the sake of getting married, but the Patriots over the last couple of years have been in the basement screaming for the meatloaf.
Okay, you know, fair.
And so I think it is time to crash this wedding. And certainly the owner has come out and basically said, I'm going to let the guys who are making decisions, you know, I like to delegate, says Robert Kraft, but I sure would like to see a young quarterback in our quarterback room.
He had a young quarterback in his quarterback room who looked pretty good as a rookie and led that team to the playoffs. And then Bill Belichick, for reasons known only to him, decided to replace his offensive coordinator, who departed to become a head coach somewhere else, with two guys who never had coached offense and definitively didn't know how to. And I'm not suggesting that Mac Jones' destiny was to be a great player, but maybe it was, certainly to be better than he was. He was a guy whose floor, what we say about him, maybe not that high a ceiling, but a pretty high floor. And all of a sudden, he looks frustrated and confused and all the things we thought that a guy who graduated in 2 years with a 4.0 GPA would never look. And he was, because he's looking to his coaches and they didn't have answers. So that's the point I'm making. They screwed that up. They screwed up Mac Jones way worse than Mac Jones screwed up. Again, I'm not suggesting he would have been Joe Montana, but so now you bring in someone else. You better be sure you are ready to give that guy answers when he needs them, especially if it's Drake May.
And, you know, you also need everyone aligned, because not to keep this on Alabama quarterbacks,
go
but the
it.
Dolphins came very close to ruining Tua. because it appeared they weren't all on the same page. I mean, they're running, they're pulling him out in the middle of drives and putting Jacoby Brissett in to run. I mean, Jacoby Brissett's a fine player. He's not a runner. You know, and they were doing all kinds of things that undermined confidence, and it was as if they didn't believe. Whoever you wind up with, if there, for instance, tonight, if there are people in the Commanders camp mm-hmm. who believe they should take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, and they take Jaden Daniels, once that pick's made, everybody better get on board and push in the same direction and not do things that are going to undermine their success, because to Mike's point, there are precious few guys out there talented enough to transcend everything around them. Top of my head, Elway, Luck, Cam, maybe Mike Vick. I don't know. That, you know, can elevate everything else around them coming out of college, and you don't have to be in perfect alignment. I'm not sure you have anybody in that draft that is that caliber. Maybe Caleb, but you better get on the same page once you make your pick.
Why do you like Drake May so much?
He's a way better athlete. Reminds me a lot of Luck, a little bit of Herbert. Way better athlete than he gets credit for. Natural leader, can make every throw. I get the stuff that he gets a little lazy and will miss a layup every now and then because of the footwork. Character is off the charts. Took all of his NIL money, made sure everybody else on the team got paid. And if you want to talk about the gravitas that he has, I was at a Duke Carolina basketball game, and the most popular guy in the building was Drake May. And to have that on that campus is pretty impressive. People love him there. And I think he's everything you look for, but you still have to support him.
I think he's a Patriot by the end of the night. I really do.
I do too.
I think it's mm-hmm. definitely Caleb Daniels May, right?
And I think you have three win, because I also like Jaden Daniels. Like all three of them.
I would love it if May goes too, because if that happens, our Knights, the three of us.
Or the Patriots trade back, which I don't think is out of the question.
And if the Giants trade up, I mean, do we just name the three things that if we as hosts of the draft could ask for just one of them, you know, like just
that's
one
the
of
team
them.
That should get Drake May. Drake May, I think his ceiling is Josh Allen, the Giants. Uh-huh. Brian Daboll was the doctor who turned Josh Allen into Frankenstein, right? Or he developed him. He turned him from this. He molded this incredible lump of clay into the best it could possibly be. That's the same exact thing that Josh Allen needs, and that's the guy who did it. Drake May needs. People also will tell you that Drake May would be best served sitting a year. Well, the Giants have that answer sitting right there. Play Daniel Jones and see what happens. The best thing that could happen is Jones plays great. That's a wonderful problem to have. Jones plays great. Now what are you going to do with the kid you just drafted? A team that can let Drake May sit for at least a little while, I think, is the best scenario for him. I would love to see the Giants find a way to get him.
All right, so in a couple minutes left, I just finally hit on something here. Here we go. So May goes second, the Patriots trade out, or the Giants trade up. Maybe those two things might be connected. Let's just say one of those three things can happen, because we want something to go off the rails tonight as hosts. Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose, Reese?
Patriots trading back.
Which one would you choose?
I think McCarthy going third, which I don't think is out of the... McCarthy breaking up the If 1-2 and chalk. 3 don't wind up being the 1-2 and 3 we're expecting, that would be fascinating, because I think there will be a mad rush to go up and get Drake May that might not exist for McCarthy.
Yeah, I kind of want the Giants to trade up. That one would kind of go... That would go nuts, because I think what you just mentioned would also potentially happen, because the Giants made a move and somebody would panic over the fourth quarterback that's still sitting there. I would take that. Who's with you tonight?
Mel Kiper. And so,
the real Mel, not the Mad Mel. Right?
No, the actual Mel. No, I actually think
Mad Mel, by the way.
We are approaching his 50th draft, by the way.
Yes,
we were
indeed.
Talking about in our
right.
meeting this morning. We've got to get all of the Mel impersonators
yes.
together, I think, for his half-century draft.
Okay.
But Mel, Booger, McFarland, Lewis Riddick, and Adam Schefter and Molly McGrath will be doing the interviews on the stage.
And who's with you?
I've got Kirk, Desmond, Nick Saban, Field Yates, and Laura Rutledge.
Okay.
And on game day, Pat will be with us on game day, and then he's doing his own thing on Plus.
What's later. It like walking around this town with Desmond?
He's a legend, man. He is
the C's
he is
part,
an absolute
huh?
legend.
The C's part.
Yes, they do.
Well, guys, this has been a blast. Thanks for coming on.
It's a pleasure to see you. Thank you.
What a great setup.
Oh, we're just love it. The Roku folks, Roku channel, and you know our sponsors and everything going on here. It's great. So thank you.
You make me look bad because I didn't do my show today and I'm doing tonight. Now here,
I shouldn't mention I'll be here for picks one.
They said, "Do you want Eisen? Do you want to go do Eisen's show?" I said, "Why is Eisen doing his show on the day of the draft?" I don't understand. So you're making me look very bad.
At least you got up. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Guys. Thanks, actually, fellas.
Look who's to your left right there. We got Brian Kelly coming up
goodness.
Next.
There he is.
The head coach of LSU.
I thought it was a bank.
It is. By the way, we're all going to recreate the scene from Heat in about 5 minutes. If you guys want to stick around, really, it'll break things up. Before I let you go, we only have a minute for this, and this could fill an entire hour. Put it up on the screen. You want to translate this one for me, Mike Greenberg?
Thank you, Zach Wilson.
You want to translate it for me?
No, I don't. I mean, what is that thing captioned? Wrong only. Where is that they say?
Wrong
answers only.
Listen, I don't want to. I'm not denigrating him. It's just like not everything needs to be mentioned on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, let him go to Denver and go crush it. Like, we honestly, like, thank you.
Woody Johnson said recently, I forget where he was, but he said, you know, if we can't find a trade for him, we may just keep him. And he said it in a threatening tone.
Like he put the lotion in the basket.
Who was he trying?
Come on.
Was he trying to put the rest of the league on notice? Like, I couldn't understand what he was trying to accomplish with that.
Go to Denver. Go crush it. Like, good luck. That would be good luck better than thank you.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. And good night. You know, that's what I thought. I'm like, not everything needs to, the social media department doesn't have to chime in on everything. But, Eddie, good to see you guys.
Likewise.
Say hi to everybody back at the shop on
we'll
ABC
tonight.
And ESPN. We will see you tonight. Brian Kelly's coming up next.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.